You're tuning in to the Midday Interview. My name's Jason Hess, and I'm here with author Kevin Maurer. He's a co-author of Hunting Shay and the forthcoming No Hero. He'll also be in the MC Ernie Gallery on Monday at 7 o'clock to talk with Star News' Ben Steelman about the book. Welcome to the studio, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
In 1959, we saw the end of the Cuban Revolution. And by we, I mean neither of us. But the world did. And Che Guevara, being a big part of that revolution, had some official roles in the Cuban government. But he quickly denounced those roles, shortly denounced those roles. And then he went to spread revolution. Then we see in 1965, Che Guevara leaves Africa. Is that correct date?
Yeah, he has a failed revolution in Central Africa and disappears, essentially.
And then where does he go from there? Because that's where your book takes up, yeah?
Well, I mean, he eventually turns up in Bolivia, where mm-hmm. he's going to try to lead a revolution. And if the reason why he picked Bolivia was it was central to South America. The idea was to start there and branch out. So he picks Bolivia, but unfortunately he picks like the worst place in Bolivia to start the revolution. And it never really takes hold, but what we try to do in the book, because a lot's been written from Shay's perspective mm-hmm. on this revolution, what we try to do is we try to look at it from the American and the Bolivian point of view, because it's even in Bolivia, their role in this is diminished, which I think which really what we seized upon very early is how little has been covered. They're a footnote in this, in what is really a grand story.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because when you talk about the relationship between the Bolivian government and the U.S. government. At one point, President Barrientos tried to send out his elite force of troops, or what was becoming his elite force of troops, and was essentially told no by American operatives from Panama. That's correct, right?
Right. I mean, their relationship is interesting because it's almost like big brother, little brother.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember at the time of the Cold War, I mean, we're in the 60s. We got Vietnam going on. The United States is very conscious of where they're going to put their troops. And while they do agree to train the Bolivian Rangers, they're very careful about how they implement American troops. Because one of Shea's sub-goals was to create Vietnams in Central America, in mm-hmm. South America. And what he was hoping to do was draw the U.S. in here and then it becomes kind of another way to bleed the U.S.
And what role did the U.S. end up taking? Because they didn't stay entirely out by any means, but what role did they end up having? Because that's what you really frame the book around, is
right.
that role.
The U.S. ends up sending a special forces team, Green Berets is sort of the vernacular for it, mm-hmm. to go down and train the Bolivian Rangers. But they also, because the embassy was banning American troops from leaving to get into the red zone, they called it, where the guerrillas operated.
Mm-hmm.
The way they got around that was they hired two Cuban nationals that the CIA had on their payrolls to go down there and kind of work as liaisons, work in the red zone, help the Bolivians. And they're actually really the hunters, while the American Green Berets are training the Bolivians to do the kind of the end game.
And one of them, Felix Rodriguez, is that the correct name?
Yeah.
He seemed to play a key emotional role in some ways, because the U.S. government really wanted, if I understand correctly, to take Shay alive.
They wanted Shay alive. He was actually more valuable alive just because of the intelligence value, but also the propaganda value. You catch Shay, mm-hmm. you catch the sort of the catalyst for the Cuban Revolution and how he was trying to spread that. You catch him alive, and it becomes kind of much more of a propaganda win. But yeah, Felix Rodriguez was part of the Bay of Pigs. He was part of the advance team. He was in Havana when the Bay of Pigs went down. He had a real emotional stake, a real family stake, much like many of the Cuban exiles have the same sort of feel. But we interviewed Felix in Miami. He's a fascinating guy. He's one of my favorite guys to write about in that book. I what I marvel about him and a lot of the Cubans that we talk to, exiles in particular, their patriotism for the United States is probably more than mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I found it really interesting how their adopted country became so important to them.
He speaks both to the president, Barrientos, and he speaks to the leader of the Green Berets, whose right. nickname is Chappie, is Pappy,
Pappy
rather.
Yeah. Pappy Shelton.
And he essentially says that we are not taking Shay alive, and he gets the confidence of both of those men.
Yeah, and in some ways, this is sort of the classic Green Beret mission. This is sort of this working by, with, and through the indigenous forces, and this mm-hmm. is where this becomes such important. And you're seeing a lot of what happens in 1967 in Bolivia, in say West Africa and Central Africa now. This idea of proxy armies, of building these armies and building their capabilities so that they can defend themselves, but also in some ways they are implementing U.S. policy.
And I'm going to interrupt to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Midday Interview. My name is Jason Hess, and I'm speaking with author Kevin Maurer about his latest book, Hunting Shay, and I've got some more questions for him. I want to know a little bit more about the process. You co-authored the book with Mitch Weiss, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. How did that relationship come about, and then what did your working relationship look like?
We worked together at AP, which is how we fell in. Okay. We wrote another book on a battle in Afghanistan. I'd like working with him. He writes the same way I do. But see, his skills also, he's a very good copy editor. He's a very good editor, too. So his skills sort of mesh with mine, which is why he's such a great collaborator. But it really started with we were looking to do another book. I had just finished up No Easy Day, and we had sold Hunting Che before I got the No Easy Day job. So I did No Easy Day in between. So we went to Bolivia in October for about 10 days, and we did all the research. We walked the trail. We went to La Higuera, where he's captured. Wow. We walked into the valley where they captured him. We did all that stuff. And then I went and wrote No Easy Day, and he wrote his sections. And essentially what we did is we picked characters. He had a chance to interview Pappy Shelton, so he wrote the Pappy Shelton chapters. I had a chance to do a lot of the Felix Rodriguez work, so I wrote his chapters, and we just divided it that way, outlining it really out first, and then we knew what each chapter was.
Now, were you guys – where does Weiss live? I assume you guys were in the same room writing next to each other. It's not like band practice.
No. He lives in South Carolina, and he works out of Charlotte, and I live here. So we would just email chapters. But at the time, I was going in between back and forth to Virginia Beach.
I was wondering, in the research process, because you obviously did a lot of interviews and things, but you don't have a lot of endnotes or footnotes in the book. But you have that tone that gives confidence to the reader that these things have been researched. But you had dealt with a lot of misinformation. The government of Bolivia at the time, most of their official statements to the press were fueled by machismo, and they were just trying to bolster their own reputation. Did that cause problems when you were researching to get facts?
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes you have to make a decision. You got to make some. There was a story about Shay's watch. Who has Shay's watch? Felix Rodriguez claims he has it. Prado, the Bolivian commander who led the Rangers, he claims he has it. We could not figure out who has it, so we omitted it.
Mm. So Felix never came out and he was like, hey, you want to try and chase watch?
No, he never did. Unfortunately, he didn't. I would have loved to have tried it. We kind of used that misinformation from the Bolivian government as a plot device. Shay becomes less of a danger the more you learn about what he's doing while they're hunting him. So what we did is we just omitted Shay's story.
This is not a footnoted history book. And not only do you intentionally omit things you don't omit them, but withhold them for dramatic effect, you also get into the minds of some of the characters sometimes. Was that a conscious decision?
Yeah, we one of the first things we said is we wanted to try to write this as a Ian Fleming James Bond novel. So what we did is there's so much written about this topic. A lot of the people, the key players have written biographies where they give away what they were thinking.
Yeah.
And then when we didn't have that, we would ask them. So we tried hard to report it like a news story, but we didn't want to bog you down with too much historical analysis. We're not historians, so it was actually better. We thought it would be better to reach a wider audience if we told the story in a kind of a plot novel.
And have you gotten any – I mean, certainly this is a widely covered topic by historians. Have you gotten any flack?
Well, some historians have liked it. Some historians hate it. Mm-hmm. But we don't – we never claim that this is historical. It's not a history book. We didn't do any analysis. We try to avoid the analysis. We just want to tell the story.
Do you think that you did form opinions on the characters in the books personally? And you don't have to show all your cards.
Yeah, no, absolutely I form opinions on all the characters' books. I mean, I marvel at Felix Rodriguez's patriotism. I mean, I think it's admirable. I think what Pappy Shelton did, I mean, I think he needs to go down on the Mount Rushmore of special operations officers. I mean, I think what he pulled off and with the restrictions he did, I think it's commendable. I know Che is a very polarizing figure, especially in the Cuban community. I think it's undeniable that he had a charisma about him that made him dangerous. That's why the United States made him such a target. I don't think militarily he was very good. He wasn't a very good tactical guerrilla, but he was very good at propaganda. Mm. So yeah, of course you take. I mean, you live with these guys enough and you dig deep enough into them. You're going to form – you like them or you don't. Every book I've ever written, I like guys and don't like guys in the book.
And how do you think readers will – how do you think readers will form relationships based on your accounting of it?
I'm hoping that they find the characters as interesting as we did. I mean, that really drives it. The story and the characters drive – you know, fiction, nonfiction, I don't think it really matters. And I think that's the core of any good story. So what we try to do is find those characters. And unfortunately, this book is full of, if I made these guys up, you'd laugh and wouldn't wouldn't take it seriously. I mean, they're ridiculous. And that's what makes the story great. I mean, that's why it was such a fun story to do.
If you want to learn more about Kevin Maurer's writing process and his books Hunting Shea and the forthcoming No Hero, visit us on Monday night, 7 p.m. in the MC Ernie Gallery for a prologue book discussion led by Ben Steelman of Star News. Again, that's 7 p.m. on Monday at 254 North Front Street.